Whoo! You know, it gets hard carrying that trash with me everywhere I go. Joe, do you know what I have in these bags? Any guesses? Who said it? I knew there'd be one smart aleck here. Now, for some reason, I was counting on it being Joe. No, it's okay. It's funny, when I sit and take my notes, I'm like, who would be the person who would shout out the word trash? I thought Joe, but you're smarter than Joe. Trash is actually a good answer, but you know what I actually carry in these bags is my sins. And they're hard to carry around. Now, the neat thing is, I kind of came up with this sorting system. You might notice I have seven bags here. And those are for the seven deadly sins. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't grow up in a strong religious background, so I had never heard about the seven deadly sins. When I read the Bible, it seems to me like every single sin leads to death, but some really smart guys 2,000 years ago decided that the Bible teaches there are seven deadly sins. So I kind of use that as my sorting system. You know, each week as I gather up my sins, I put different ones into different bags, and that helps me keep organized. Now, it's kind of funny. This one I have labeled greed. Greed is something I kind of struggled a lot with when I first came to Christ. But over the years, greed has actually gotten kind of easy. I mean, I think there's weeks where I don't even put anything in my greed bag each week. The next category, let's see if I can find it. Oh, here's a good one. Anger. When I first came to Christ, I would have needed a dump truck every week when I came to church to bring in all my moments of anger from the past week. I had a really bad temper and tended to, you know, just slightest thing would set me off. But anymore, it's a pretty manageable bag. Let's see, the next one. What was my other one? I think I know. Envy. I don't know how this one gets stuff in it every week. I mean, I think if I had a nice new SUV, a Mazda like Dennis did, or man, if I could play the harmonica like Rick, or I could play the piano like Jeannie, I probably wouldn't have to put anything in this bag. I wonder sometimes if maybe God's trying to teach me how to be okay with the gifts he gives me, actually appreciative of what I have, and I wouldn't chase so hard over the gifts that other people have. So maybe as I learn that lesson, there won't be anything in my envy bag every week. Let's pick the next one, pride. Pride's an interesting one. This is one that, if I had to guess, I think God's been changing the size of the garbage bag over the years. When I first came to Christ, and we're going back like 13 years ago, he gave me the ultra super size mega bag for my pride because he knew how much I struggled with it. But it almost seems like every week I get a smaller bag. I mean, when I first came to Christ, I could fit all my pride in, you know, for 7 days between the two Sundays. But anymore, this thing was filled up by Monday. But he's given me a small bag, and I think it's to remind me to stop making prideful trash. So this is my little reminder not to get caught up in pride. Here's another one of my seven deadly sin bags, laziness. You know, it's funny, and I told Dennis about this yesterday. If Dennis asked me to preach on a given Sunday, I'm actually not that lazy. I tend to time my time during the week, find my free time, and sit down and try to prepare a sermon. But because we had so many missionaries in over the last month, he didn't really ask me to do anything on Sundays. And I noticed that I was getting lazy, kind of slothful. I think that's the word the Bible uses. But this week he asked me to preach, and it occurred to me as this week went on, I wasn't laying in my lounge chair, eating my bowl of ice cream, and playing games on my phone. So maybe if Dennis keeps giving me things to do on Sundays, I won't put so much stuff in this laziness bag. Now, this next seven deadly sins bag is gluttony. I don't know what that word means, but I do notice every week this bag's getting bigger. It's kind of like me. And the weird thing is, like, normally when I come to church on Sundays, I get to empty my bags. But last week, this bag didn't get emptied. And I was trying to think, what did we do last week at church? We had that international worker in, and we gathered out in the pavilion, and we ate all kinds of food. And I don't know, I wonder if that has something to do with the word gluttony. Maybe I'll figure that out. This last bag is weird. It's not the biggest, but it's the heaviest. It's labeled lust. And it kind of cuts into my hand. And, you know, it hurts when I lift it up. And if I throw it over my back, it hurts my back. And I kind of wonder if every week when I empty this bag out for Jesus and he picks it up, does it hurt him? Does it cut into his hands or does it hurt his back? I keep praying someday that God will take this bag away from me. Hope that day comes soon. So that leads me to today's message. You know, the funny thing is, if I bring all this trash with me every week and I don't get rid of it, I'm not going to be able to serve God and I'm not going to be able to serve you. So thankfully, every week when I come here, God gives me that opportunity to get rid of my trash. And it's actually a pretty freeing thing. I wish Dave Boyle and Tracy and Carter and Cole and Kenzie were here because I could throw these things at her. Because part of this is her fault. Now, I feel like I can serve God in you and maybe bring you some truth from the Word of God. That whole process actually starts for me when we get together and we encourage each other for the service, when we sing the songs that Jeannie and Rick pick out. It's like those bags just get thrown away and I can see clearly. I kind of laughed this week when Karen texted me and said, you know, Dave, I need a title and I need a scripture reference so I can prepare the bulletins. And without even thinking, I blurted out Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And I didn't laugh because the word trash was in my title. I didn't laugh because God gave me this funny idea about garbage bags. I laughed because for the fourth time in the last 8 weeks, the person preaching managed to choose Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And I think you people are probably starting to get tired of this. You're probably thinking, you know, Dave, there's some other parts of the Word of God I'd like to learn from. But maybe there's a reason that God keeps bringing us back to this scripture. Maybe he has more than one thing to teach us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Preaching on the subject of trash has actually been rolling around my head since the end of June. It all started one day when I got onto Facebook and my favorite niece in the whole world named Ellen put the following picture on her wall. And I looked at it and it said, "When you're trash, but you're still better than everyone else." And in amongst the black garbage bag was this shiny gold garbage bag. And it just fit my niece perfectly because she's a very loud, outgoing personality. She's got the tattoos, the piercings, the crazy hair, and she is definitely the golden bag amongst all the other bags. And she would laugh, too, if she heard me say that. But the funny thing is, that same week that I saw this golden trash bag picture on Facebook, we happened to be having a high school graduation party for my son, Jacob. And while we happened to own the Vogel maximum size rollout cart, the sad reality, it only holds about 8 bags of trash. And because of this graduation party, we ended up with about 30 bags of trash. And I thought, well, you know, I could take these down to the end of the driveway on Sunday night But I think we all know that the raccoons of Jefferson Township would have announced the greatest party in the world at the end of my driveway. And I would have got up to head for work on Monday morning, and there would have been half-eaten hot dogs, hamburgers, potato salad, and whatnot spread all over the front yard. But then I had this idea. I happen to know we have four big empty garbage cans over at church. But I was going to be sneaky about it. I'm going to come over, you know, late Sunday night, nobody's here, I'll put my bags in the church garbage cans, and then I'll come over on Wednesday when no one's around, and I'll take them out to the end of the driveway here at church, and then before anybody notices on Thursday after work, I'm going to come and sneak them back up, and no one will know that I ever used the church garbage cans. So I came over on Wednesday, and somebody already took them out to the street. So I kind of figure I either owe Dennis or Matt or Tom a big favor for lugging four overloaded, stuffed, crammed garbage cans. So much for my plan of sneakily using the church garbage cans. But the funny thing was, that wasn't the end of the trash talk for that week. That coming Sunday, I stayed after we had our worship service, and I lead a small Bible study group up here. And typically, it's Tracy Wilson, Dave Boyle, Kenzie, Cole, and Carter. They're my regular Sunday Bible school. And for some reason, Tracy had this really big smile, like she was just itching to tell me a story. So I'm like, hey, what's up? Why the big smile? She goes, coolest thing happened before service. So they were coming in, probably right around 10, maybe 10:01, 10:02. If you know the Wilson Boyle clan, they're pretty good at that last second. And they had some of their wrappers from their breakfast that they ate on the drive here. And I guess Joe was holding the door for them that day. And Joe said, like, do you always bring all your food wrappers into church? And Tracy said, Joe, we always bring our trash to church. She got the big smile on her face because it was like this light bulb going off in her head. She goes, Dave, it can be a sermon title for you. And Joe must have thought it was pretty good, too, because he said to her, hey, maybe you should be preaching today. And she says, no, we don't preach. We just give Dave Love his titles. So here I stand with Bring Your Trash to Church. So I started out today's message saying, my trash bags are full of sin. And I'm not actually sure that that's the direction that Tracy would have went. I think she probably had a different thing in mind, but as I thought about that this week, it's the direction that I went. So how about you guys? Do any of you have trash bags full of sin? Do you ever wonder where those trash bags came from? I know for me, I can't ever remember a time in my life where I didn't have these trash bags. As I read the Bible, I get the feeling we were born with these trash bags. I think we might have only started out with, you know, we call original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve that was given to us. But, you know, it doesn't take long before we start growing into people that make our own sins. Now, as much as I look out at you and I'd like to think you were all the most perfect, sinless babies in the world, I got to believe you were probably something like my kids. It doesn't take long before babies start showing signs of selfishness, start showing signs of rebellion against your authority, start showing signs of pride. And before you know it, by the time they're 2 years old, they probably have a decent-sized garbage bag of these seven deadly sins. And so that's probably how it was for each one of us gathered here today. We had this ever-growing collection of garbage bags of sins. And then at some point, Jesus found us, and we found him. And he made us this great offer. He said, if you'll trust in what I did for you at Calvary, I'll take those trash bags from you. Those trash bags were paid for by his shed blood and sacrificed life at Calvary. And I don't know about you guys, but in my case, it was too good of a deal to pass up. Couldn't wait to give them my trash bags. And at first, it felt totally awesome. I'd been carrying those bags for, in my case, like 38 years. They were big. They were heavy. But then a strange thing happened. I went and got new garbage bags. For some reason, maybe I was naive. Maybe you were naive too. Maybe you went to a church where they told you, you know, you can actually live a sinless life once you're born again. I can only tell you that wasn't the case for me. And it was surprising and shocking, and I struggled with it. And I tried to do some research on this topic this week, and I stumbled on a video that I thought did a really good job of displaying what this process looks like after we come to faith in Christ. And I ask you to be kind and compassionate to Brother Joe, because he's never worked in the sound booth. And I've got two different videos for two different parts. And praise the Lord, Jeannie is led by the Holy Spirit. She takes us backwards in songs. And I got to tell you, between getting those garbage bags out of the pastor's office and coming back and forth and backwards in the songs, me and Joe were sweating bullets back there. But I'm trusting that Joe has figured it all out, because he's a high-tech engineer kind of guy. And I think he's going to try to play this video for us. So, Joe, give it your best shot.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
The smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay. I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over. All right? Let go. Let go. Yes, yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Right.
Just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
No, it's just like... This is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well,
get used to
feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
no,
put it here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know...
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
When I first watched that video, a whole bunch of questions came to my mind. The whole, hey Jesus, long time no see, and Jesus asking if I avoid him because I'm embarrassed about the sin that I'm carrying around. Are we embarrassed about the thought of having a conversation with Jesus because we know we've got the stench of sin on us? I kind of like Jesus, just let me go clean it up a little bit. That's one of the great lies of religion, telling us that we have to go clean up our act before we go to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. kind of liked how she acted when Jesus first took the burden of her sins from her. Kind of like, wow, this feels great. And I can identify with that feeling because even though those bags are mostly air, you get about 12 cardboard boxes, they start to get heavy. And that's how we are when we try to carry our sins around with us. I also wonder, do we think Jesus looks at us and he only sees the free person? He sees what we could be. And that's why he so much wants to take those sins away from us. Now, I thought the ending was kind of interesting, where Jesus asked her, are you able to forgive yourself because he's already forgiven us? I think this is the hardest thing for us. Something about us as human beings just feels like, yeah, I know Jesus forgave me, but I'm still mad at myself for being this way. And I think that's something we'll struggle with for the rest of our life, trying to understand what the perfect love of Jesus Christ is like, that he can look at us at our worst, filthy, dirty, stinking, covered in sins, and he still loves us. That's why we come here on Sundays, to learn about that love, to try to get a better understanding of what it's like. Those are some good questions to not only ask ourselves, but ask Jesus right now in our hearts. Okay, so for the last 4 weeks, or at least 4 weeks in the last 8 weeks, you've heard somebody read from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I think Brother Dennis tends to work out of the New American Standard, which is a really good kind of word-for-word translation based upon the best manuscripts. When Brother Rick preached on this, he probably worked out of the New King James. It's kind of got a lot of the structure of the Old King James without all the these and thous and thines and all those words we don't use anymore. So to shake things up, I'm going to read it today out of the Amplified translation. And I won't lie to you. I'm not even going to look at Janine to see the face she's making. I like the Amplified translation because what it'll do is it'll take a Greek word that has 3 or 4 different possible meanings, and it shows you all of them. It'll put them in parentheses or brackets. And I think sometimes seeing those other possible translations, those other words, gives us an understanding we might not have got from a shorter, simpler translation. Hey, Joe, what I'll need you to do is put the mouse on the PowerPoint, because if you moused onto something else, it stops the clicker from working. So try clicking forward a slide in the PowerPoint. Oh, I'm looking on the back. It's still on the garbage bag. Okay, we're good. Okay. Can you follow along with me so I don't click through? Okay, thank you. So the somewhat longer amplified version of Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Jesus said the yoke he's going to give us is easy. I think religion gives you bags to carry your sins in. Religion will give you a system to sort your sins into different bags. Religion might even give you some exercises to strengthen up your shoulder and make your hands tougher. But Jesus does something completely different. Jesus takes your bags of trash. In exchange, he gives you a light burden. Sometimes I think that light burden is the honor of telling other people about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Telling them how much joy he brought you, how much peace he brings you, how much easier and freer your life is since Jesus Christ took your trash from you. And you know, the funny thing is, though, when you first get that feeling and you first start using that that burden that Jesus gives you. You start telling other people about this amazing thing that Jesus has done in your life. There's a couple things that might go wrong. And one of the problems that can come up is people give you their bags of trash. And at first, maybe you feel like you're strong enough to carry them. You think that maybe this is my purpose in life. This is what God prepared me for, to carry other people's burdens. But that's really not what Jesus wants from you. Jesus wants you to point people to him, not to yourself. As I look at the different people who served at the pastor of this church and pastors of other church, I've seen them struggle under that burden. They become the point of contact, the person who gets all the trash. As you lead other people to Christ, let them know that he's the one that paid the price for their trash bags. He's the one who can carry them. He's the one who will carry them. Now, I said way back in the beginning that I think Tracy might have gone in a different direction with this message. And I do want to touch on the kind of bags that Tracy might have been thinking about, because I think it's the kind of bag she brings to church sometimes on Sunday. And I don't think she would be upset for me to bring this up. Sometimes we have bags with labels like worries or fears or anxieties. And I don't want to seem mean, because even though some religious person 2,000 years ago didn't list those as the seven deadly sins, these things are sins. When we focus too much on our problems, it kind of takes our focus off of Jesus Christ. I think you'd be perfectly justified in thinking, come on, Dave, worrying about bills, paying my bills, making my mortgage payment, I mean, that's not a sin, that's just reality. And for others, maybe it goes way beyond just paying bills. Maybe they have health problems. Maybe they have problems with their kids. Maybe they have problems with their marriage that would make a little financial problem seem like a birthday party. But God's word does point us to spending less time focusing on our own problems and focusing on him, the loving and serving, the loving God who wants to take care of us. You don't have to know how it's going to work out. You just have to believe that God is in control. He's sovereign. He has a plan to make all these difficult situations work out. You just need to put things in the proper perspective. I think Jesus said it very well in Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 to 33. Thank you. I was waiting. And who of you, by worrying, could add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and wildflowers of the fields grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Please note that I am not telling you to ignore your job, ignore your family, ignore your marriage, or ignore your health. But I am telling you that verse 33 is a great command from Jesus Christ. Focus first and most importantly on him and his kingdom. And I think when we do that, our worries about this world shrink. Not to a size that's smaller than there really are, but to the right size. Because in our mind, we tend to inflate things and make them bigger than they really are. I know I tend to have that problem first thing in the morning. I start thinking of all the things that could go wrong today, and they seem enormous. But when I read from the Word of God in the morning and I download a couple sermons to listen to on my drive to work, by the time I get there, my problems seem manageable, and I'm able to deal with them. I think Paul talks about this a little bit in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. When our problems are right-sized, it seems easier to carry them to God. And he talks about that, and he says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds and in Christ Jesus is yours." When I first read that verse, I had this great vision. I had a vision of one of God's angels standing at my heart, protecting it, making sure that any attack from Satan or any of his demons coming to plant seeds of doubt and seeds of worry and seeds of anxiety in my heart, he stood there and made sure that they wouldn't get in. And it helped me a lot to think that it's not up to me completely to fight these attacks, that God is sending angels to help me fight off these attacks of worry and doubt. So just like all those bags of sin, cast off those bags of doubt and worry and anxiety. Now the reality is there's probably some other bags that you carry that I might not even know about. Bags of loneliness, bags of resentment, bags of unforgiveness. We'd probably spend hours if we went through the label on every bag we could carry in here to church this morning. I don't know what the labels are on your bags. I know what the labels are on mine, and they're many. Whatever's on them, Jesus wants to take it all away from you. He wants to carry those bags for you.